Hello, mech fans around the world and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where you two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 27, and we'll be talking about episode 27 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079. A spy on board, in which a certain smarmy ass gets way more likable. Oi, agare, and take it away.
Suit Fandom. I really hope you keep all of the clips in like a separate folder, and that someday we can just release a whole big, like, this is all of the dumb shit we say before starting the episode.
I have all of that, but I don't save it, and I should have been working on a supercut this entire time, huh?
You fool, yeah. You could have just been doing this constantly. I don't blame you.
No, most of the time I'm just like, oh, fuck, it's Thursday, god damn it, I gotta fuck, oh no!
Big mood. Big mood.
So,
today we're talking about your new waifu.
Yeah, so I'm upset with you and the things you wrote about her, but we'll get to that when we get to it.
You're like, did the English not say that in the preview of the next episode? Because they just straight up said it in the Japanese.
No, I don't think they did, and if they did, I tuned that shit out because, god damn it, my heart can't take much more of this.
Okay, The Japanese concept of spoilers must be much looser because, Jesus Christ, it's like, yeah, no, everyone's fucking... You're gonna know they're dead, like, two episodes in advance. It's like...
Gotta warn you so you can prepare.
Yeah, I guess.
Harden your heart.
Yeah, like, I don't fucking know, man. I don't know if that was just the old way of doing things or what. I'm sure there's a bunch of cultural reasonings. Or just anime in the 70s was fucking weird. It was.
Hey, that one's true. Yeah, I was about to say, either way, that one's true.
Yeah.
This episode had some weird... Mobile Suit Gundam, and I think all 70s anime, or maybe even 80s, a lot of them have the idea, have the problem with, like, eyes being...
Yeah, you also noticed that, like, midway through, you saw Miharu and her whole family was, like, 50
Google
feet
eyes.
Apart. Yeah. Yeah, there was an entire valley in the entire game of God of War takes place between both of their eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Anyways,
you see the thing
this episode's sorry, go ahead.
Well, the thing I actually noticed this episode, and this is my theory, is so far we're into the air quote season two, right?
Right.
And so far, was that last episode or the episode before that when that started? Last episode?
26 was the start, yeah.
Okay, so right now we're 2 for 2 in terms of really good animation that is pretty way more consistently on model and also way more dynamic.
Yeah.
So I think this is
a
good
sign. They
animate
some water later in this one. That I like saw the water and I had to stop. And also Kai's hair at one point did some shit like whoever like animates wavy animations on season two was just like, it's my fucking moment.
Yeah, there's also I also noticed like there were just a few times where we were like, you know what, this scene has too much action. Fuck backgrounds, actually. Just fuck them.
Yeah, this black screen. I noticed that, too. The other thing I noticed that I actually really enjoy about this episode and the last one, it just dawned on me in this one because I kind of expected the last episode to be like a one-episode thing.
Right.
These last couple episodes have really felt like a World War II cartoon.
Yeah.
because we see civilization, they're in a city, they're not moving around constantly, we have spy intrigue and bullshit, we have submersible warfare, and like a city being bombarded or under siege, like we have secret maneuverings and plans, and
yeah.
It's this feels like a World War II movie.
Well, interestingly, and this is literally something I'm just thinking about right now, so like bear with me. It's also kind of just geographically making sense, because
yeah, because they tell us where the fuck they are.
Well, what I mean also, by that Ireland. Is like the location's white base is mirroring what tactics were like in World War II in the area they currently are. Because a lot yeah. of the Pacific Theater was pretty much just big fucking ships running towards or away from each other
yeah.
and taking pot shots. Mm-hmm. Then they get to land to presumably China, we think, and they start getting chased by small elements of a much larger army that they have to constantly escape from. Then we get to Europe and we're in full-scale war mode.
Yeah.
And I won't be surprised if, like, we continue to see some transitions as we go on, because, like, I'm just thinking offhand, the further we get... It's first of all, it's going to be a lot more war. Like, I just thought about it when this episode ended and I saw the preview for next episode and I saw that the boy is back in on his bullshit with his mechs.
Yeah. I will talk about it when we get there.
Yeah. But the thought occurred to me that from this point onward, it's going to be pretty constant battling and war. With, like, real deep introspection in the middle of all of that. Because, let me tell you, we're also not super close, but not too far away anymore from a lot of psychic magic bullshit.
Okay.
It's gonna get funky.
I mean, we were gonna... It tried to get funky with Haman earlier. Things got funky with Haman, but that was off screen, I'm sure.
One of these situations where maybe the Dojins are canon. Have I said that on this program? Of
what?
I have, honest to God, been dissatisfied with the ending of an anime, and even a manga, and gone and read the Dojin for it. Where the characters do get together, and it's like, this is my canon now, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. I'm talking about Soul Eater. I'm just gonna be honest, I'm talking about Soul Eater, because the fact that Maka and Soul did not kiss at the end of that is some fucking bullshit, and I will die on that hill. Also, for those of you who remember Soul Eater, the manga does not end that way. There is not that stupid fight. Chris, I'm about to tell you. Sometimes a mech battle can be bad. And
oh, shit.
And let me tell you, the one at the end of Soul Eater is atrocious. And also, that is not how that manga ends. The actual manga ends really, really fucking cool. I highly recommend it. If you enjoyed the first half of Soul Eater, stop there. Go read the manga. It starts in volume 7 is when that division happens. That's the big ice war. This is my present to you. Go enjoy the actual ending of Soul Eater.
Also, tune in next week for the first episode of Soul Eater fandom.
Soul Eater, but definitely not.
Okay.
There's another anime and manga called Soul Eater Not, where it takes place in the same world, but it's not about the titular character.
Soul Eater.
Yeah.
I think I saw, like, a couple episodes of the anime, and when you said there's a mech battle, I was like, what? That does not seem like a mech anime, or I'm thinking of a different anime.
It isn't a mech anime, just
there is mech.
It was another Full Metal Alchemist situation where they caught up to the manga, and the mangaka was like, I haven't planned that far ahead, man. I don't know. So they just did
something. You guys have like 130 fucking people working on this. I'm one dude. Go away.
Yeah. And as such, you know, the Soul Eater Mango had like way more time to develop shit. And even though...
You know what? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, even though the mangaka can be like, this is my plan for the next, like, two arcs, but then I have nothing else, then all the writers have to get together and be like, okay, let's figure it out, fuckers. And use these notes that he gave us, because it's close enough. Fuck.
Right. Which, we're getting there, I think, from what I haven't followed it forever, but I think we're getting there with the fucking... Game of Thrones as well.
Well, oh no, we're past that stage in Game of Thrones.
We're past that? Okay.
Well, that said, though...
I think I've watched season 3.
Yeah, yeah. It's season 4, I think. I also should note, I haven't actually ever seen Game of Thrones. And yet, I know basically everything about Game of Thrones.
Okay, so I know the way this works is normally, like, you go off on tangents about other anime... and if I go off on tangents, it's something stupid like someone's giant penis or two characters kissing or something like that. But
I mean, if you're about to talk about Game of Thrones, there is no difference from what just said.
Going back a little further.
Oh, okay.
I've been thinking about Full Metal Alchemist a lot lately.
Bruh, same?
I don't know... How to, like, so I watched a lot of, I think I stopped watching the original run of Full Metal.
Right.
Before they got Buckwild.
Right, yeah.
And then picked it up later with Brotherhood and just watched it from beginning to end.
Right.
That's a good fucking anime, y'all. Like, Full Metal Alchemist is amazing. Like, it has my gun wife in it.
Yeah.
It has my sword wife. It has my best friend slash dad, Maze Hughes.
Yeah.
Who's fucking perfect and got disrespected so hard.
Well, hear me out. So and I actually sent some other friends of mine this recently. In one of the... whenever you buy a volume of manga, typically speaking, there's an extra little chapter at the back called an omake. Okay. Sometimes they're like a letters column, and other times they're just like a little non-canon adventure. My point of this being is that in one of the fan letter type of the omakes, and these are still, like, written, like, drawn out panel comics and all this jazz, in the back of one of these letters sections, the artist drew Hughes coming out of his grave fine and being like, fucking what happened?! So you can hold it in your heart that in... a not too far off timeline, Maze Hughes definitely made it and came back just
Zombie
fine.
Zombie Hughes came back to save us.
He arose 3 months later.
Also, that fucking... I still remember from the original run, and I know I was a youngster, I was a ute.
Yes.
And like things that may be dumb now were way impactful then. But like the episode with the little girl and her dog... you all fucking know what I'm talking about.
We all know. Literally everyone knows what we're talking about, Edward.
I watched that shit on, like, Toonami as, like, a youngster, and I'm like, well, I'm not fucking sleeping for a week. That's terrible. But I was so angry and sad.
I literally remember also seeing it when it premiered on Toonami and just being like, what the fuck?
The fuck just happened to me?
You know, if I was clever, I could use this silent time for doing something fun for the blooper reel, but nah. Kind of just a dipshit who nothing's coming to mind. I'm just thinking about Full Metal Alchemist a lot now. Fucking love that shit. The Flex Off is still the greatest anime fight to ever happen. And it wasn't even an angry fight. It was just two big macho men flexing on each other. well, at each other. But, like, literally, never mind. That's not a GIF recipe. That's just a GIF. Oklahoma-style onion burger.
Onion burger?
Oh, Jesus.
Hi.
Well, I guess I gotta learn about this fucking onion burger, no matter what.
Okay, so, now that we're back from outer space...
Yes.
Fucks. My wife called to let me know that the repair bill on her car is $1,100, so I'm not happy about that.
Yeah.
As
a quick aside before we get back to our previous aside, from what I can tell, an onion burger is a sin. Because literally they just took this fucking normal burger patty and it's a smash burger type burger. But then they just put a bunch of thinly mandolined onions on top and then flipped the entire arrangement over when they cooked the other side of the burger. With all of the onions just kind of piled on top. Hmm. And, like, don't get me wrong, I fucking love onions on my burger. Like, especially, yeah. Like, I love caramelizing a bunch of onions and putting it on my burger. Yeah, who doesn't?
I like caramelized onion on my hot dog. Well, I like caramelized onion on everything, I'll be honest.
Honestly, on my hot dogs, I prefer just the finely diced. I like a little bit of that spice.
Yeah. That's also good.
Yeah.
It's a good little crunch.
Yes.
Oh, no, I like... Okay, let me correct. Hot dog, diced onions.
Yeah.
Bratwurst, caramelized onions.
Oh, okay. See, I don't get that much deviation... In my
right, because you've got
fake extruded meat. Yeah,
veggie penis.
Yes, my tofu schlong is typically like pretty flavored, and they don't do a lot of bratwurst ones. I don't know why. But then again, I also don't know what like the really palpable difference between different types of sausages are, for obvious reasons. Anyway, Full Metal Alchemist is also hot, hot, hot shit, and it's that good shit. I still firmly believe that that's mostly because it was written by a woman who...
Oh, I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, it was written by a woman. It's also really adorable because in the omakes, she draws herself as a little cow lady wearing her glasses. Oh. And it's very fun and very cute.
I'll say... I had a bit of a moment, because if anybody asked me my stock response to what is your favorite anime, I always say Cowboy Bebop because I'm a white guy. I think it's Full Metal Alchemist, though. It's a good fucking anime.
Honestly, for most people, it's one of those. Yeah.
Oh god. Okay. Cool. So I'm still like painfully fucking white.
Oh, all right, no.
Back to this.
When I say anyone, I mean like. Anyone who's seen anime, it's one of those two. I do not just mean...
Also, weirdly, been thinking about Outlaw Star a lot lately. And I think it's just because...
What? Real quick. Would you like to guess who... The gender of the person who wrote Cowboy Bebop's script?
I'm gonna guess...
Female, it was a lady. Female it was author. Also a lady.
A lady.
All right, Cowboy Bebop was originally just an it was just an anime, so like it was done as a screenwriter. She also wrote the Cowboy Bebop movie, Wolf's Rain, which I seem to recall, Samurai Champloo and Space Dandy. She also helped write both Kingdom Hearts's.
Nice. Holy shit! I love this one.
Yeah, Keiko Nobumoto. Hey, Tomino, get her to write a Gundam. I bet she'd write a good Gundam.
Yeah, she'd write a dope Gundam with heart and feeling. And, yeah.
Careful, too much heart will get into Kingdom Hearts, and that's a whole other...
You know, I've... That shows a lot, like... I'm glad that she also worked on Samurai Champloo, because I, like... And I wonder if she wrote on Kids on the Hill or whatever, because I was trying to find more anime like Samurai Champloo and Cowboy Bebop, and I was following the director to try to find it, and his next thing was about jazz, and I was like, I don't want to... like kids playing jazz, jazz band in school. Was like, I should probably still give it a chance.
Wait, what was the name of the show?
Like Kids on the Hill or something? I can't remember.
Hi, welcome to We're Googling Things, and we haven't even talked about what the fucking name of this episode of Gundam is.
Yeah, we're 22 minutes into this. We probably
Kids on the Slope.
Slope, there we go.
Yeah, I haven't heard about this one.
Did she also work on it?
No, she didn't, at least as far as I'm aware. Okay. I'll check again real quick.
So I need to find more anime she worked at, because I also like Space Dandy.
Yeah, she actually hasn't written on that much. Her list is pretty small. Oh, she even did Macross Plus. Look at that.
Looks like your boy is watching another mecha show
there
then.
You go. Anyway...
Episode. Back to this fucking... Our podcast is about Gundam.
Despite the last 20 minutes of our podcast.
We're bad podcasters, Fuzzy.
I don't have a rebuttal. You're kind of just right. This episode is episode 27, and it is A Spy on Board.
A spy on the longboard.
Despite the fact that the spy only gets on board in like the last quarter of the episode.
Yeah, but I've been Christopher has been on board with this spy since last episode. Yes. So should be called Chris on board with this spy. Oh yeah, I really like her. Like, it's a joke because she's I started out because it's a joke because she's a redhead, and I like they killed Miranda and
another redhead.
But I actually really like her quite a bit.
I enjoy it. I felt like the kids make like the whole trying to make her a sympathetic character like borderline ham-fisted, but it's also like a trope that works for a reason, and the trope the orphan trying to leaving the younger orphans behind to go to work and stuff. Like, I get that it's a good trope that will keep getting used. I don't know.
I'll openly admit, like, I am a simple man with simple needs. And, a bunch of kids trying to make it work is right there. But I will say, like, part of it is how much shit she gave Kai last episode. Just getting pissy at him for not buying her stupid shit.
that is part of it.
Also, I like villains who are... villains out of necessity, rather than ideology, I guess. I'm not gonna sympathize with fascists, but a kid trying to like feed her younger siblings, I can understand that motivation.
Fuzzy? Oh no! Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at another thing. I looked up Miharu's siblings and what went down with them. It's not
Fuzzy. Good. No, Fuzzy, stop it, Fuzzy.
It's bad.
Why are you doing this to me? Okay, so we start off.
Oh, jeez.
With Amuro giving us a lesson on Gundams and all the stupid configurations and how he should have it. Fuck off, Fuzzy. And how it should like put a shield on the other side of this little tanky tank. And how the Gundam should be the center of all these. He wants some. Kai gets grumpy and leaves the presentation. You can jump back in here at any time without trying to break my heart, Fuzzy.
I'm just still kind of taken aback by how bad it is. I'm gonna just be brief and tell you that the younger sister ends up joining the bad guys in in Zeta. This is an aside manga, by the way. This is never on screen.
Okay.
She joins the bad guys, gets put in a super secret experiment, and then test pilots a crazy ass mobile suit, and the experiment ends in failures, and she super duper dies as a result of that.
Dope.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus. Dope.
Really excited about this.
Yeah.
So title card.
Yeah. Yeah. This episode is called Spy on Board. Amuro does this whole fucking presentation.
I did that part!
Yeah, did you talk about Kai ollieing out?
Yeah.
Cool,
alright. You just weren't paying attention to me at all. I thought we were friends.
I wasn't memeing that. I was legitimately just kind of taken aback by how hard this poor fucking family's life veers left. So, title card. Landscape shot of, we're in Belfast, by the way. At no point do they mention that. At least not in my version.
We know they're in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, so this is Belfast. I kept calling it Odessa. It's Belfast. So, Belfast looks like shit right now. But also in the show.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Belfast.
I don't either. If you live in Belfast, please tweet all your angry comments at Fuzzy Sainowaki on Twitter.
I really kind of just want someone to just be like, you right.
Yeah.
Because I know if someone made the same joke about Texas, I'd immediately respond, you right.
Well, that's because Texas is a goddamn shit show.
Anyway,
kids are spying on Kai.
Yeah, being so grump. Yeah, we cut to the white base chillins spying on Kai, and he is just dressing up in some casual clothes and planning on ollieing out. He starts walking out, and Amuro notices him and is like, "Yo, don't." And he's like, "Nah." Bright is naturally angry because his response to anyone having a different opinion to him is anger, because Bright's kind of a shitter. I'm not sure if you've noticed. Shitter of principle, Bright's... but a shitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kai then proceeds to walk down those fucking steps and out of White Base with also just dropping, like, good advice as he leaves, because, and this episode does a really good job of, like, hammering this home, in my opinion, Kai is observant. He may be a witty asshole, but the reason he's a witty asshole is the same legitimately somewhat bad reason the comedian from Watchmen works. He sees it, he kind of peers behind the fourth wall and notices the bullshit long ahead and is a snarky asshole about it. This does not forgive him, but you shouldn't underestimate Kai. And so, as he's walking...
I will continue to, because I don't like him. Actually, he's fine. Kai's actually growing on me slowly.
Especially this episode. This is a very Kai-heavy episode, because he's doing the Amuro after Amuro. Bright does not punch him this time. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's even got punched by Bright before.
Yeah. Mm. Kai kind of is just Amuro's sloppy seconds of
he's not psychic Amuro.
Yeah.
Because he's a good pilot. He just doesn't have that edge with fucking weird brain powers.
Yeah, I also think Kai is... He doesn't have weird brain powers, but he is far more observant. And mild spoiler alert... we do learn more about him in sequel series and what he goes on to do.
Cool.
And it all kind of makes sense, honestly, if you pay attention. Like,
yeah.
It really does, and I really kind of like his arc later on. So Kai fucking just kind of is heading out. My favorite bit is he turns to Bright on the stairs and goes, "Don't overwork yourself, because when you get stressed and angry, you don't make good decisions." And then he leaves.
That's good life advice for everybody, that's if good I'm
life,
honest.
Yeah, that's good life advice for everyone, but, like, especially Bright, where that is him to a T. He says a couple of things to Amuro, too, but I forgot most of them because the Bright burn was just too good. As he walks out of White Base, Amuro catches up to him and gives him his toolbox, and it's like, here, sell this, you're gonna need money. Earlier on the stairs, Kai also asked Amuro, like, why are you trying to get me to stay? And Amuro goes, I'll be honest, I don't like you, but I like elements of you. Which, in my mind, translates well to, I'm not a big fan of you, but I do respect what you do and how you do it here.
You're kind of a piece of shit, but you're part of the, you're an important part of the team.
Yeah. Later on the bridge, after Amuro gives him his toolbox, Kai echoes the same thought earlier, having remarked, "I like the way you put that." As he kind of looked off in the middle distance. Honestly, I think Kai's really fucking charming in this episode.
Like, yeah, Kai puts it on.
Yeah, he really puts it on. And I don't know if it's just because I've been making this comparison today as I've been reading a 50-chapter-long Harry Potter fanfiction.
Jesus.
Long story. And we used up all our tangents in the first 20 minutes.
The entire half, first half of this was a tangent. We can't.
Yeah. A little bit. So, Kai kind of seems to boil down to, like, every George Clooney character during the period he was in the Ocean's movies.
Yeah.
Like, all of those getting distilled down. Like, he's gotten a few drops of that vanilla essence in his character here for this whole episode. Sayla, when Kai then turns around and is like, peace! Bye, Sayla. Sayla's just, like, leaning on the fucking door and waving, and the kids also wave goodbye, and I'm just like, when'd she get here? And also, why is Sayla always in the background lately? Like,
Sayla, yeah, Sayla is Legion.
Apparently, yes. There are 50 Saylas just rotating constantly.
That was Sayla 32 in the background of this shot.
Yeah. What's that movie? Something Happened to Monday? She's that. man, what a weird movie. Anyway, so we cut.
I like that Kai was like, hey, you should stop being an angry piece of shit sometimes. It'll make you a better leader. And then as soon as Kai leaves, Bri's like, he's a piece of shit, fucking coward, garbage.
Yeah, Mirai is watching Kai leave from the bridge, and Bright's just like, fucking, he's a coward, isn't he? And Mirai just doesn't answer. Camera cuts away. It cuts away to Char, Boone, and one other schmuck who I have stolen the name Grobslore for, chilling in one of the speeder skimmers in the bay, spying on White Base. It then cuts back to Kai, who is walking through the destroyed city, and he gets stopped by none other than the redhead spy, who asks if he wants to come stay with her for the night. She lives with her brother and sister. You look like you need some help since you're going AWOL. Come over. She also introduces herself as Miharu, is her name.
Yeah. And she says, he says something like, why would you, I can't remember if it was like, why would you trust me, or are you sure? Like, what? And her response was, it'll be fine as long as it's only for a couple nights. And my thought was like, if he's gonna murder you in your sleep, he'd probably do it night one, right? Like, I don't understand the...
Well, I mean, that comes more from an element of it would be rude to stay too long, but it...
Yeah, no, I get that. It's just, but I remember him expressing concern about, like, I took it in my head as like, are you, Yeah, what if I'm a... I just got kicked... Because she says, what, they kick you off the military base? And he said something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you probably don't want them... Like, someone who got kicked out of the military for nebulous reasons that they didn't discuss, staying with you and your young children siblings.
That is very fair, honestly. But in the Japanese, he seems way more doubtful of her, honestly. But, like, yeah. In a real casual way of...
Yeah. Oh, he's sus of her during this whole episode, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he goes, eh, fuck it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they go, he meets the siblings who were not a lie, we just didn't see them last episode. They're super duper wary of Kai, and yeah. He's just like, sup, you little shits? Okay. I've been dealing with three.
You guys are nowhere near as bad as the three I know.
You guys literally work for the enemy faction, and you're still less trouble to me. you are less actively sabotaging me.
Yeah.
So, they, sit down, eat some fucking pumpernickel or something, which when I still thought they were in Odessa made a lot of sense, but I guess Ireland also has black bread. It was just kind of funny to me seeing those bread loaves, because if you didn't have, like, the context of pumpernickel, which not everyone does, you might just go like, man, they're just eating charcoal bread, eh? it's just how they made that.
Yeah.
So,
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, they do talk. It is a TV show, so dialogue is an important
part. Okay, well, I wasn't... We were going to say, okay, fuck off. So they talk for a little bit, and she's, like, going to tuck him into couch. Because he's not on a bed, he's on a couch. They mention... what?
Even earlier, like, even during the dinner conversation, Kai just, like, casually drops something about White Base.
Yeah.
He says that it's a spaceship, which she immediately, like, gets kind of a serious look on her face and goes, so it is a spaceship, in her head.
Yeah.
But Kai totally picks up on it and goes, oh, this is a family of spies. Cool. And I'm just like, damn, alright. then she's like, make yourself at home. We don't have other beds here, so you can just sleep on this couch, which is in the same room as the dining room.
And they mentioned earlier that they're actually squatting in this house. This is not their house. This is an abandoned house.
Which, also, like, earlier, we saw that house from the outside in last episode, mm-hmm. and it looked like a log cabin,
mm-hmm.
and... all of the shots in this episode make it look like this log cabin, which previously looked like it could not have been more than, like, 30 by 40 feet.
Yeah, it was very small.
Max. Yeah. Is now a mansion on the inside and decorated to match.
Yeah. If this is an abandoned house, how did she get her weird magnetic strip typewriter spy machine in there?
In here, yeah.
I guess maybe they drove it, like, Xeon, like, did a land mission to drive her this weird thing and give her a supply of balloons and helium. Like, the spy arm of the Xeon military is buck fucking wild.
Like, it really is.
Alright, so here's the deal. I don't
think they know what they're doing, but this does oddly mesh really well with what the Nazis actually were like in World War II. Like, spy network was insane.
I've read about, like, even the British spies in World War II, where they were just like, we don't fucking know. Like, let's just, here, you have a mansion, train some people, don't tell us what you're doing.
Have you heard about the fucking Spanish guy who was a double agent?
I don't think so.
I'll be fast on this.
Yeah, it's a tangent.
What's this podcast inside a podcast called? The history fandom, sure. There's a Spanish guy who literally called up the Brits and was like, I want to be a double agent for you and spy on the Nazis for you. Can I do that? And they laughed at him and hung up. And so then he went to the British consulate in Spain during World War II and was like, hey, I want to do this thing. Are you down? And they're like, no. Because he super hated fascism and the Nazis.
Right.
So no one would believe him, so he began being a fake double agent for the Nazis. Meaning, or excuse me, a double... He was really a triple agent, in essence, because he was, to the Nazis, a Nazi spy spying on the British by being part of their group. And so he just fed the Nazis fake information, but, like, tons of fake information.
Yeah.
And so, and they bought all of it. They bought him a house. They gave him tons of shit. He got bankrolled off this and became one of the Nazis' best, air quote, because they thought all of his information was real, but it wasn't. He was just feeding them fake bullshit.
That's great.
And so eventually the Brits heard about him and how he was... how the Nazis had this super spy that was leaking all of this information about them. But then they looked into what information he was leaking and were like, this is all bullshit. And what's this guy's name? And they knew his name. Like, he wasn't using a pseudonym at any point. He just used his fucking name. And so...
Joseph.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Joseph Rodriguez or something. It was, like, just a really Spanish name. And he just goes, like, he did this, and it just so happened that one of the people who was part of MI6, who was in the room when they heard about this guy, happened to have worked at the Spanish consulate, and was like, I know that name. I remember hearing it at the Spanish consulate. Well, I remember hearing the name of the Spanish consulate, and so he called up the Spanish consulate, the British consulate in Spain, and goes, do you remember this name? And they were like, yeah, that's that guy who called us, like, 8 times about wanting to be a spy. To which I can only imagine this guy dropped the phone, held his hair, and went, oh my fucking god, he just went and did it. And so then the Brits got in contact with him and was like, do you want a better deal? And he's like, hell yeah. I'm going to keep doing this anyway because you know who I fucking hate?
Nazis. Who?
Nazis. I hate them so very much. And if you would like to help me be more effective at fucking over Nazis, I will do that.
Nice.
And they were like, you want, like, more cool shit, too? Hell yeah, I want more cool shit.
You got gadgets? What do you Give mean? Me some fucking gadgets.
So they set him up in London. They gave him all this shit. He had an entire team working on him. And this was literally an entire group of people whose sole mission was to take actual British information, fuck it up a little, and send it to the Nazis so that everything was always, like, 3/4 right.
Yeah.
But that last quarter made it useless.
Yeah.
It was great.
Nice. You know what else
is great?
Which
is evidence of the... spy network being fucking insane. So this episode, which we haven't even gotten to the commercial break in,
I thought to myself, oh, this episode will be better because we're recording it a week after the last episode, and Fuzzy and I won't
worse.
Be. So it's so bad. Anyways, so Kai finds a fucking gun in her picnic basket.
Yeah. a picnic basket. Oh!
Oh, she's back in heat. Jesus.
Anyway, and that's how Boo Boo accidentally shot Yogi. They got into the wrong picnic basket. I don't want to think about fucking Boo Boo being a secret mastermind, because you know what that reminds me of? That time Scrappy Doo was the secret mastermind.
Oh, we don't talk about that.
Don't fucking... I will write down, bring up the live-action Scooby-Doo movie on something I can see while recording, and I will keep bringing it up.
I really like the live-action Scooby-Doo movie. I just don't like Scrappy at all.
No one does. If you like Scrappy-Doo, maybe stop listening this No. But actually, Scrappy-Doo is fucking trash and I hate him. He adds nothing as a character. And not even as a good plot device.
Nope.
Just kind of an asshole.
I'm glad they abandoned him. You're on a tangent.
So, Mihara comes back with a blanket, and Kai, immediately faking like he didn't see a fucking gun, just kind of, like, throws the blanket on, turns over, and drops some, like, half-fake information.
Yeah. He says that, White Base will be leaving tomorrow because one of its engines is fucked up, and if they get attacked on that side, they'll be stuck here, so they have to leave before they get attacked.
Yeah. So, she buys it and immediately calls Char and tells him, calls, air quotes, gets the message to Char.
Yeah.
Char immediately responds, with Boone and Grobslor, that she should sneak on board, and then Char tells Boone, you're in charge of attacking them now, I'm gonna go drink or something, I don't fucking know.
I'm Audi 5000.
Yeah, I'm Audi 5000, dude. Bye. And so Char just ollies out with Grobslor, and Boone is like, alright, I'm gonna launch the new boy, the Zagok. I'd like you to meet the Zagok. Zeon's not quite peak aquatic suit, but probably its most iconic, honestly. In large part because next episode, Char gets one.
Yeah.
And paints it red because our boy is on his bullshit.
I was going to talk about that when we got there.
Oh, we will talk more about it. Because it's fucking hilarious. Anyway, so, yeah, they launched This Is a Gok, which, for the record, is nominally, like, a real pale gray slash blue.
Slash purple.
Yeah, I think it's a cool gray, personally, but, like, yeah. We're splitting hairs, and I'm not Pantone. I think that's the name of the company. Anyway, so...
The thing is, we just got the Gog last episode.
Yeah, I also recall this half of Gundam being very, very bad at this. Of like, hey, is it a new episode?
New Gundam, you new bet Gundam.
Your
new
ass, Gundam. There's a new mech. And it's like, I barely remember all of these. Why are you giving me new ones? Because we need to sell toys. Fair.
Yeah, I guess, like, part of my favorite thing about the first half is just, like, it felt like all the players were in the game, to begin
yeah.
with. Like, we saw the Zaku 2s.
All the pieces got on board real right. fast, and we were just set and ready to and stay then, with those pieces.
Yeah, and then when, like, first off, when the fucking... The Red Comet special shows up. You're like, oh, mm-hmm. fuck, it's a different color. Oh, my God. And then, like, you see a Zaku 1 in one episode. It doesn't become a major thing. But it's, like, kind of a callback. Like, hey, this is what
Mobile Suit before.
Used to be. Yeah. And then when they fucking drop a goof on us, it's like, oh, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is all this about? This is awesome. What does this one do? And then the Dom shows up, and you're like, "Oh, okay, all right." Well, this is still like looks kind of
still
cool.
pretty neat.
And then the Gog shows up, and you're like, "Well, no, this isn't. No, it has a fucking girdle, and this one, the Zagok shows up. It's like they were like, okay." It was too late to cancel the last episode. We couldn't have put a different mobile suit in that. So the Gogs are real, but we gotta replace it with like the Gog Plus. This one has abs.
Yeah. Now I do think later on they kind of tie into this a little bit, and a lot of people in future Gundam shows think that Zeon loses this war because they fall into this trap of. They're trying to get a MacGuffin like Amuro and the Gundam, but Amuro and they test it by having the thing, the prototype, fight against Amuro and the Gundam. And of course, the prototypes always lose.
Right.
Because Zeon's being an idiot here.
Yeah.
I think this is a case of explaining the Kessel Run years later, you know?
Yeah.
Which, for those of you who don't know, there is an air quote in canon reason on why Han Solo says he did the Kessel Run in, what was it, 13 parsecs?
Less than 12 parsecs.
Less than 12 parsecs, and everyone is like, parsecs that's limited distance.
Oh, it's a black, yeah. It's a black hole.
So they came up with a bullshit reason years later, right?
Yeah.
Involving black holes. Chris did not just make that up, it's legitimately that dumb. Not that all the things you make are dumb, Chris, just...
No, it's fine. Everything I make is dumb. Also, let's don't science.
We are here.
Star Wars is a fucking... They have fucking goddamn space magic. Stop trying to use science on me. It's a fucking space fantasy, space opera, whatever you want to call it. Don't try to make it too science. If you want to try to science some shit, go to Star Trek. And even then...
Even,
they have hard light science doesn't holograms make any and shit, yeah. So I don't know.
No, that doesn't make any more sense.
Anyways, back to this one. Don't science this either. Well, you can, but it's kind of pointless.
You want to science the space psychics?
Yeah. The brain
I'll
voice?
Wait.
Oh,
God. I do still heavily maintain that new types are just, like, super aware, not actually psychic, but except
fucking
for the
Haman
fact
and
that
him
they
talked.
Yeah, they literally do psychic shit later on. so that theory
like
goes
me
out
and midichlorians. I fucking refuse. That to yes. me, midichlorians is just some shit Qui-Gon made up to explain space magic to a child.
Yes, I will... I still love Jedi Party's way of doing that. It was like, Master Qui-Gon, what are midichlorians? And, you know, Liam Neeson gets down on one knee. It's heroin. Just hard cut. Just hard cut.
Yeah.
So, Belfast Base, I wrote Odessa because...
Because you're you.
Odessa, or the Belfast Base immediately is like, there's a mobile suit headed this way. And Amuro immediately is like, what do we have available to us to kick this guy's teeth in? And
yeah,
he gets a big explanation.
They like, give Amuro the fucking laser pointer at a meeting, and suddenly he's like, I am in charge. I am on the track for military leadership now. Give me...
Yeah.
This is foreshadowing.
Which...
I'm foreshadowing right now. I am not a child anymore. I'm a military commander. Let's do this.
Which, honestly, in the manga, again, they do a way, and admittedly, you know, manga was made years later, but they do a way better job of explaining this, of like, keep in mind, Amuro is a proven combat ace at this point. Not veteran, ace.
Yeah.
He has gotten more than 5 kills.
Yeah.
Of enemy mobile suits, which makes him an ace.
Also, a born... fucking engineer and
yes
psychic.
He comes from a line of prodigy engineers and is one himself, so honestly, like, I think he earned it.
Yeah, it's just
he's a petulant child, but he earned it.
It was the flipping switch of personality of he's like, I'm taking this. He deserted not too long ago.
Yeah.
Twice.
I think it was just one long one.
Okay.
Just how they technically count it.
Anyways, so he immediately slips into like, I've been through this before, I know what to do, let's business as usual, everybody, let's murder some people.
Yep, let's fucking kill some dudes. So, we then cut back to Boone, who's talking to a new spy looking dude and giving him orders.
Love the spy guy.
Yeah.
He looks so dumb.
Oh, Connolly. Yeah, Connolly looks kind of dumb. This spy guy is, Boone has the submarine surface and then launch a bunch of missiles, and then Connolly jumps in a boat and goes to the shore. Sayla jumps in the G armor.
Don't they kind of kick Connelly out too? Like they're like he's like he's like just get out, do the thing, damn it.
They do kind of rush him out, yeah. Sayla gets in the G armor and literally crashes through a wall to launch it. Like, I wish I was joking, but she actually just is like, and I'm like, damn.
Say, like, they're in a dry dock. They can fix it.
I guess. So, Amuro launches in the Gundam, and they have no backup because no one is here to pilot the cannon, and the gun tank has a drive shaft error, apparently.
Yeah.
Amuro proceeds to jump on top of Sayla, and they ride off Green Goblin style, and I just now realized how that sounds. Commercial break.
Yeah! So, we have a new review, so you don't have to hear me plug things, everybody. This review is titled Gift. It has 5 stars. It says from MSF Lover, which is...
we're kind of in shock you made an account to give us a review, but thank you.
The first one was saying, like, I would give you 10 stars if you go back to being weekly, but they have changed it to say, like, to talk about sending us, send Gundam gifts to us, and I'm like, that's very, I'm very flattered. But, like, I can't, I don't, I get uncomfortable getting gifts from, like, my wife, so, no, you cannot.
I just don't have the spare change to set up a P.O. box.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, a slut for just about anything. you want to send me things? I won't complain twice. I should complain once, because that's polite. After that, we're good!
But yeah, thank you very much, MSF Lover. We love you too. Shout!
I also presume you're secretly Tomino in disguise.
Definitely. They're all, well, they're all Tominos. That's
our they're all, everyone's Tomino. Is our fan base Tomino now?
Yeah.
All of them are Tominos. Okay, I like that, actually.
Yeah, were you so high you forgot your own goddamn joke, Fuzzy? Fuzzy, you made that joke to me months ago.
In my defense.
Yes, you coined calling our fans Tominos.
I did do that, didn't I?
Yeah. Anyways, we're back.
Caught in my own web of intrigue.
I really like this. Both times we see Kai, because it happens again later, but Kai's watching the city being bombed to shit, just kind of with, like, yeah, casual interest. And he's like,
honestly, I feel like the only reason it was as casual as it was because they just didn't have good enough animation practices at the time. Like, they didn't have the time to do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, he literally wakes up to the bomb starting to drop, and it's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. Like,
watching it happen.
They skimp out on a lot of backgrounds this episode, but, like, this scene in particular of watching the bombs go off and, like, the reflection on the window that he looks through is, like, really cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it. There's actually a lot about this episode to love, honestly. Like, it's... Yeah.
I really like
this episode. Yes, it's good, just like the last one is, and I feel like we will be saying this a lot as we man, this episode kicked ass.
Yeah, it'll be nice. I just don't want another Kukuru's Doan's Island.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be having another one of those until we get to the next series. And then there's even other series some people argue are just Kukuru's Doan's Island.
we're gonna have to do those too, aren't we? Oh no.
Yeah, under the premise of this show, yes. Kai immediately also notices that Miharu ollied out.
Yeah.
We cut to Miharu, who passes by Connelly, and they exchange
my favorite thing
their
about
passcodes, and Connelly has clearly forgotten.
Yeah, so my favorite thing about this, I don't know if it does it in the sub, but in the dub, like, you hear someone complaining that Connolly stole their bike, and Connolly yells back, "It's military business, you'll get it back, piece of shit." And yeah, he ignores Maharu as he bikes by, and she has to stop and look back and like, "Are you in a hurry?" And he stops and he's like, "Oh yeah, not particularly." He comes back to give her orders. Yeah. Connolly's my favorite character. He's just such an idiot.
I'm hoping he shows up again, because I want this inept asshole to just to be our real touchstone with Zeon.
I just love that he's a Zeon fucking spy, right? And the first in enemy territory during an active combat situation, and the first thing he does is jack someone's fucking bicycle from film. Like, give me this, fucker. And then proceed to ignore the spy he's going to meet.
Yeah.
And then when she catches him, it's like,
dipshit.
Hey, dude, he pretends like nothing's wrong. Like, he didn't just fuck up. I love Connolly. Connolly's the best. Yeah, I'm Connolly.
I'm a fan of.
I used to make jokes about being Job because he was just down in engineering, not getting any attention, but that kind of ineptitude, like, Job is just too efficient and effective to be me.
Fair point. I feel that. I feel that feeling deeply. So yeah, fucking Kai at this point totally realizes that the whole family is Zeon, and so he ollies out. Boone, meanwhile, is watching the Gundam and the G unit going around. I'm not gonna call it by its different names every time, so I'm gonna call it the G unit.
Yeah.
Because that's also really funny that Sayla is the only person who pilots the G unit. Yeah. So, a Gog that's actually underwater proceeds to actually use the missile girdle as a missile girdle and manages to knock Amuro off of the G unit. Sayla responds by shooting torpedoes at it and missing. The Gundam lands in the water. Miharu goes back home and learns Kai left with the words "good luck," which she she has a moment of like, "Oh shit, he totally knows." And she's just like, "Well, not much I can do about that now."
Also, the kids are like, "We couldn't stop him." And I'm like, "I don't think she expected you to stop him. You're children."
I think she expected you to give a vague attempt and then stop because you're children.
Yeah.
Miharu breaks the "I'm going away now" speech to the kids. You've watched movies.
Yeah, I'm going to be gone longer than normal this time.
Yeah. This was the point where I noticed that this whole family had the entire game world for all three Stalker games shoved in between their eyes and no nose to speak of.
Nope.
Miharu has this moment of being a sympathetic character, sad orphanness. She cries and explosions continue in the distance. And honestly, this is one of those like even the music is the sad episode ender music that usually we get with like a slow pan out as something just happened.
Yeah.
Which we get here, but there's still more episode.
Yeah, there's
which was
boy, how is there more episode?
Yeah, but at this stage, I really did check. Like, wait a minute, is it over? Yeah. No, it's not even close. We then cut back to Hayato, who is jumping in the gun cannon right now.
Right. He launches. Doesn't he normally drive the tank, right?
Yes, he normally drives the tank, but Kai, the cannon's normal pilot, is fucking AWOL right now. Yeah. We cut to Kai watching the fight on a cliff.
Yep. This is another, and it's, I realize they just did this a minute ago from the house, but I didn't get upset about it, because it's just a fucking dope shot of just him watching Belfast get fucked, just like in his fucking button-up purple shirt.
Yeah, it's a real cool shot, honestly.
Yeah. And he's like carrying a small bag or something, or is it his coat he has hanging on it?
No, it's a small bag. It's a little pull string bag. White Base proceeds to detect the Zagok, and Hayato launches and gets his shit decked by the Zagok.
Yeah, so we find out that Hayato should not be fucking put in the gun cannon.
Having four limbs is too many for him.
Yeah, Hayato... What's Hayato's... Hayato's another engineer, right?
He's like Amuro, yeah. He was another engineer, but he's also, like... he's a martial artist. He's...
You'd think he'd have better...
implied to be, like, the best martial artist on the ship,
He judoed the fuck out of Ryu, our walking fucking meat man.
Which is literally my only evidence for him being the best at martial arts on the ship, but they showed me that scene, so I'm gonna make the assumption.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, I don't know if they've ever let him practice in that thing before. Because he was another one like Amuro who read the goddamn manual, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he's never read the manual for the gun cannon.
Yeah, I think so.
Also, he kind of stepped up to piloting the tank by himself. He had another pilot in it with him at first.
Yeah, but then they took out the midsection piloting and just put it all in the head.
So I think maybe Hayato's just not the great, like, he's the best pilot they have for it, but
he's not the best pilot.
Yeah, I don't think, given his own devices, he would never have ended up being a pilot.
Yeah, and... I swear to God, I think he has this conversation later.
I seem to recall this intuitive as shit, y'all.
Yeah, not I'm this episode, but like far in the future. Yeah, yeah. You are the new type. You were the new type all along.
It was me.
The Zagok pilot proceeds to misidentify the cannon as the Gundam.
Yeah.
Kai, who is watching this, realizes that he has feelings and is not a sociopath, and proceeds to have a yellow-tinted, so you know it's not psychic-based, flashback of...
It's really good that they color-code this shit so we don't get confused.
He proceeds to have this flashback of various times on White Base. Honestly, of the scenes presented, only one of them really looked good. Most of the rest of them were him getting hit.
Yeah, this like the scene where Bright punches him was in there, right?
Yeah, it's Bright punches him, Amuro punches him, Ryu punches him, Amuro slaps him. A tender moment is shared, I think, just after Ryu died. Him with the rest of White Base.
Then I forgot.
I think then he remembers when they buried Haman. Fucking Isolina.
Oh shit! I forgot about Isolina.
Yeah, and then the last part is Sayla calling Kai a coward, and it like echoes and zooms in as he goes like, "Am I really a coward?" And then it cuts away.
Yep.
Which, good editing, honestly.
Yeah.
I like that. That was a good time.
Yeah. Also, like, I'm thinking about it now, and if I was Kai, I wouldn't go back, probably. Fucking dudes just kept hitting me. I don't want to be hit.
I think this one might be a, in terms of what resounds with culture, example.
Yeah.
For us, we would see that series of Westerners in particular, and this is just a theory based on what I know, right?
Yeah.
Westerners would view that as especially now, as particularly excessive abuse and frankly ollieing out at like a good time and trying to make your own life.
He left when they were at a dock and could get replacements.
Yeah.
He didn't abandon them in the middle of battle like some people. Amuro. Only got hit once.
Yeah. It only took once, though.
Jesus. That's
for
terrible.
Japan, especially at that time, having those memories show up is, highlighting the dereliction of duty aspect, and it doesn't need to be said that you have a relationship with these people and need to defend them. It's you beat yourself up for leaving them, and that's what makes you come back. Culturally, I think at the time especially, they were just more into the negative feedback loop.
Yeah.
Than also, the positive feedback loop.
Also, yeah, also it seems like casual violence is less of a taboo, possibly.
Yes.
From just, like, cuffing people on the back of the head is a very common thing that seems to be fine, and even, like, not friendly, but, like, affection is so weird, like, just kind of camaraderie-based smacking people.
Go ahead, count the number of times people take full power karate chops to the head in anime, and it's just okay. I'll wait.
But, so that's anime, but also in, like, in live action things, you'll see people threaten, like, raise a hand to each other threateningly, and it's used as a joke almost. I think it's just me being a very anti-violence weenie.
Yes, a small, soft child.
I'm cruel, so small and so soft. I'm not small. I wish I was either giant or small. Right now, I'm just kind of like a normal sized dad bod guy, and it's very frustrating because, like,
I'd say you're pretty above average dad bod at this stage, but.
Well, thank you. I've been running so hard.
That's why, yeah.
So, back to this.
So, Amuro underwater.
I'm sorry, real quick, back to it. This is another fucking example of, like, when I watch the episode, I'm kind of like, oh, this is okay or whatever. Not super. But then we get to talking about it, and I realize, like, this shit's pretty fucking good. Like, you're right. Kai gets this is a fucking good Kai episode. And I like Kai quite a bit now.
Yes.
Anyways, this is underwater. Also,
you know, my second time through this whole show, so, like, you know, I've had some time to reflect. Yeah. Kai is kind of a dick.
But we need that, because everybody else is an angsty sad boy or just, you know, good.
We need a sarcastic asshole sometimes.
Yeah, like, an antagonist that's not an antagonist.
Yeah. So, Amuro underwater proceeds to fucking devastate the Gog that shot him out of the sky by just remembering what happened last episode and going, that trick won't work twice, as the Gog tries to, like, do a drive-by and grab Amuro's head again.
Yeah.
He ducks it and proceeds to pop 3 through the chest on the fucking Gog, and
This episode fucking just more emphasizes, like, Amuro is not fucking around anymore. Like, Amuro used to get the occasional cool thing off. Most time he was beating an enemy by the seat of his fucking pants. And now he's just like,
now he's an ace fucking pilot.
Yeah, he's just clowning on fuckers. And, like, this episode, a little later, but right now, I'm just going to say it right now because I can't fucking wait. He, like, dolphin flips upside down and blasts a fucker through the chest, falling through the sky. Yeah. Like, he's not content to just stand there and shoot at people anymore. He's going to do kick flips and fucking barrel rolls.
He's here to whoop ass, and he will.
He gets shot a lot less, which I assume is because he's flipping around like a goddamn mobile suit ninja.
Yeah. He really fucking emphasizes the mobility of the Gundam in this back half, let me tell you.
Gundam is a goddamn ballet dancer of...
Yeah. So, now I'm just thinking about fucking Macross Delta.
we're at an hour and 15. We can't.
I know. We
cannot.
I know, they just have literal dancing mechs in the first episode. Amuro proceeds to get ordered back to White Base to help Hayato not die. And Kai, of course, sees all of this and goes, fuck it, I'm not a coward. And he runs back after, you know, having like, oh, why should I care? I shouldn't care. Ah, fuck it, I care!
And he steals a motorcycle.
He proceeds to parkour and then hijack a bike. And,
like, again, just a really cool fucking sequence. Like, Kai's just like, I'm an action hero, fuck off.
This is the part that is so fucking amazing to me. So he steals this dude's motorcycle, right? Or this unnamed, undrawn person's motorcycle. Jacks it. Proceeds to ride it over a battlefield. And also it occurs to me, he says to the guy, come pick it up from the base tomorrow. And then he gets literally 4 feet to the right, a missile hits and blows him off of the bike. He abandons the bike and runs. So that dude is not going to pick up his bike tomorrow from the military police because that bike is in the middle of a ruin. He proceeds to then parkour all the way back to White Base's hangar, where he runs in and goes, I'm back, bitches. The engineer is like, yeah, we just finished fixing up the gun tank. Can you get in? And he's like, you're damn right, I can.
My name's Duke Nukem now.
Do I have two thumbs and three letters in my given name?
Yes.
I mean, technically it's two letters because it's Japanese. Shut your bitch mouth. And he jumps in. Shut the fuck up. And he jumps in the gun cannon.
Just in time to see Hayato getting more fucked up.
Yeah, Hayato is about to be ripped in half by the Zagat.
Yeah.
Until
this is
Kai...
weirdly creepy and unnecessary. Like, this guy just went... Hayato melts the end of his fucking gun.
Yes.
Hayato, please.
Hayato, please.
At least Amuro runs out of ammo. He doesn't melt the end of his fucking gun. And then, like, the Zagak pops up and, like, grabs him by his arm. They get real close and personal to each other. Stretched out, T-posing. And Zagak's gonna try to rip the gun cannon's arms off. Which is...
yep. Metal.
It's a little metal, but also very ineffective way to get rid of.
Very ineffective, extraordinarily metal, only works if your name is Kratos.
And if you're the only two people on the battlefield, because guess what, motherfucker? Ba-bam!
You may be busy glory killing, but in real war, you don't have invincibility frames.
Nope.
Because the Zagak pilot does not have invincibility frames, Kai fucking rolls in and just starts blasting the Zagak back with Vulcans and cannons.
Which is one of those
real tasty.
The first time I notice, the first time I noticed the just black backgrounds gun tank. Just kind of like backs out of view. No, that's when the Gundam shows up, isn't it? But anyways,
I think there's one gun tank one as, for some reason, the Zagak's immediate solution to the gun tank is to push him into the water. And so he does this by doing a flying headbutt.
Yeah.
Because that's apparently the main way aquatic suits fight.
Yeah, he just air torpedoes himself.
Flying headbutt. Yeah, he air torpedoes himself and is like, he slams into the gun tank but does not put his feet down, so he's clearly just continuing to blast the rockets to keep him level with the ground in his giant metal robot. Somehow he's up and Kai is getting pushed back, but anyone who knows physics at all, like the concept of it, just kind of heard about it once, still would be like, I don't think that's how that fucking works. And you'd be right.
Yeah.
What the fuck? So Of course, Amuro jumps out of the water and saves the day with, like, a jumping slash down.
Yeah.
The Zagok barely gets out of the way. And meanwhile... Well, first, then the Zagok manages to do another air torpedo, but grabs the Gundam's foot and drags him into the water. Yeah. Miharu, meanwhile, sneaks onto White Base. Sayla kills a submarine.
Straight fucks up a submarine. And then, like, calls it in. She, like, blows up their guy, which, hey, these submarines look cool. She blows up the submarine with her Garmer. Her goo unit.
With the G unit.
She G units that fucking shit.
She drives them by, yes.
Yeah. And she just calls it as like, hey, I took out their command ship. No big deal. Me, Sayla, I've been piloting for 4 episodes. I fucked this up. Don't mess with me. I got brain powers like Amuro.
I do think by the end of this, she is an ace. Like, by the end of the war, I feel like Sayla's probably an ace pilot, in the literal definition.
Yeah, she.
Now, that's an interesting point. So, like, mech-on-mech kills would definitely count towards the ace pilot rank. Does a fighter pilot killing a mech count as an ace kill or not?
So, I think it should be more, strictly speaking, because...
You would, yeah, I'd almost be like, yeah, one mech equals 2 fighter planes. Right. Maybe it's by weight class, I don't know. I know for a fact submarine, like, ships don't count to that, because, like, a ship is...
It's usually also a concerted effort.
Yeah, it's also, like, basically a stationary target relative to a plane. Yeah. Anyway, so... Sayla kills that submarine, and Amuro is getting shot up real hard by that Zagok.
I think we moved past it. But there was a scene while they were, like, Hayato was, like, just doing a yell in his cockpit, where they just overlaid the screen with white bullets real hard.
Yeah.
And then, like, it keeps going even when they go underwater. Like, they just forgot to turn that overlay off for a bit. And I was like, guys, that's easy fix.
Yeah.
Or just don't.
Just don't put that cell on.
Just don't do that.
Yeah.
Guys.
I have no explanation for that one, and I don't remember it, but I trust that you saw it.
It's the worst. Anyways.
Yeah, truly. Tomino, what the
Tomino,
hell?
Tomino.
Tomino, you let it slip by.
It's okay, we forgive
you. Where was your QA? We do forgive you. Amuro gets real mad and proceeds to jump straight up and out of the water.
I think this is where he does the dolphin flip, right?
Yes. Yeah. The Zagok proceeds to follow him because trying to kill him, and the gun tank was just waiting. And so the moment the Zagok gets up out of the water, Kai pulls the trigger and blasts the Zagok back. At which point, Amuro, still in the air, proceeds to backflip and twist and do a jumping vertical downward slice, longwise nearly bisecting the Zagok. He then kicks back, the Zagok sinks,
and, it's
and goes nuclear.
Yeah, you got a big bubble, and explodes. Bubble wave. This is the point where, like, all this water bit is animated real well, and, like, Kai getting tossed around inside the tank, the gun tank, his hair is doing really cool wave shit. Like, they took time to animate all that pretty well, which is why all these other errors are like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, what happened here? At the same time as, like, we get a couple of shots, like, inside cockpits and at people's faces, we also get, like, these three, as the nuclear explosion goes off, everything, all backgrounds and stuff become yellow, and we only get black line art on top of this yellow.
Yeah, and it freezes.
And Yeah, and it freeze frames, and we get some real cool glam shots of the Gundam landing again, and of the gun tank just, like, sitting there looking cool, and of white base as these waves crash over it. And it's just three really cool-looking glam shots, honestly. That's it. It's just real good. Kai parks the gun tank back at white base, and everyone just welcomes his home. Sayla is super off-model in this shot. Her eyes are fucking ludicrously huge. Like, I'm not kidding. She has little green men eyes in this shot and none other. It's weird as fuck. Char receives a report of the battle.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, that's what I expected. Yeah,
like, alright,
whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah, that went about how I anticipated, but hey, you know who's most of that problem is? Boone's. Not mine. We're chasing White Base. And, of course, White Base leaves Belfast with a spy hiding on board. Literally hiding. Yeah. She has a fucking disguise, and she is just crouched behind a wall.
Yeah, back when, the other thing, they give her a shitload of money, right? And say that they're gonna give her a shitload more money if this works. And they give her a uniform and a letter from a commander, right? Like, in my head, that means, like, she shows up, she says, hey, I've been transferred to work on White Base, here's my letter, let me on board, and they do, and she just pretends to be a crewman.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's, like, hiding instead, in the bowels of the ship.
Yeah. Which seems like a bad way to gather intelligence, honestly. Didn't work out super well for the last guy who tried that. He got exploded by a bazooka.
Super died. Yeah, that guy is... He's dead to the point where you're like... Profoundly dead. Yeah, they won't even bring him back in an anime. Like, it's pretty
bad. No.
Before we get into, like, the next time thing, but even though this is a next time thing, they show very, like, they tease some, like, sections of a mobile suit. It you can tell it's a Zagok, right? You can mostly tell it's a Zagok.
Yeah.
And the lighting's all weird, and you're like, oh, it's a red Zagok. I wonder who's in that.
I wonder who's fucking in there.
They tease it like it's a fucking, we gotta do all the mathematics and follow the clues to find out who this is. And then, meanwhile, they, like, go ahead and tell us what they actually say.
Well, yeah, what they actually say is, like, literally the announcer is, like, a terrible fate befalls Miharu, who will say, and it's something nice about Miharu, and it was, like, literally, the first three sentences are, Miharu's on the ship, Kai and Miharu develop their friendship, and then something tragic happens to Miharu. Who will say this line that clearly sounds like it's said at a fucking funeral? So yeah, next time, Miharu definitely fucking dies! And Char finally fights Amuro again. Will across the Atlantic Ocean. That's the name of the episode. It's pretty weirdly simple, but the real question is, will Chris get a new red waifu in the form of the Zagat? Probably not. It's a mobile suit, which probably means it's gonna explode. Will you be able to survive?
Amuro!
Real quick before we go, I will say now that the fight next episode is one of the most iconic from this show, so I'm actually pretty hyped for next episode. Wait,
that's gonna be dope. Amuro times two.
Kaioken times one!
No, shit, talk too much!
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 27 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you're new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember, we never hear from those two children that she leaves behind ever again until a side manga many years later. It's sad.